ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. All right, we're back on the right side here. I like I said, it was my problem, my fault that things didn't go well there early on. Dan's back behind the controls.
You felt like you were
here on the other side of the board. Don's over here on the other side of the room.
You were hosting Lefty, right, when you're here doing it too? Yeah, you got to.
Yeah, I had everything was on the different side as I was trying. And here, I was telling Don, I was having a great time. My computer needed a reboot. I didn't have a mouse. I didn't have the mouse. I couldn't find anything on the computer. It's like, this is not good. When you're sitting here and it's a Friday afternoon, there's not a ton of things going on. Now, we did talk a little earlier, Dan. I mean, yesterday, Ferg sort of hinted that Auburn was close. I didn't expect to see the news today that Auburn has the final piece of the puzzle for Stephen Pearl.
Yeah, and it sounds like this may have been close to a done deal when Coach Pearl talked to Justin earlier this week.
Right.
Although, obviously, there are rules about what you can say.
Yeah, coach still can't speak publicly or to the media about players who are not officially part of the program yet.
But it sounded like both in Justin's takeaways from the interview and in some of the quotes from Steven, it's like they have a candidate all but locked up and somebody they know can come in and somebody who projects as a starter at the three for Auburn, and it is in fact the Lithuanian Montas. Who is he has a last name, but I kind of want to one name this guy like a pop star.
Well, they're all. I mean, the thing is, they're tildes Montes. And they're all kinds of little notifications over the letters.
I just think.
I
you
mean,
could,
it's I can spell
name,
it.
That's a name you can see on a marquee, right? Like, that's a name headlining in Vegas.
Cher.
Yeah, Elvis.
Is he praying?
Montes.
I want to see
right.
the praying Montes.
Mantis. That's right. So he's be praying on other SEC
Hopefully
teams.
Hopefully praying on other SEC teams. That's
what he's
exactly
be
right.
praying on this. This no, so it's, I mean, for a new look Auburn team that, you know, and it's, I think it's also important that they have that continuity because it's really hard to just go into the portal. Mm-hmm. Teams have done it, but it's really hard to go into the portal and get all of your players and then have it all gel in year one. You know, you want some of that. Some of that returning production, and for Auburn to bring back a backcourt like Tahad and Kevin Overton, and now you're in position to surround them with whether it's front court pieces like Narcisse and Buki, genuine seven footers, or Thomas Dowd, who was the best player in a
Dowd, Olsen, Freeman. Yeah, I mean, my
tough
goodness,
mid major league. You know, Olsen is a fantastic shooter. Owen Freeman, like you just said, and now to add Montes to that, you know, as you try to cobble together.
This is going to be such a bigger team.
Bigger team.
You know, something I didn't realize till I was reading Ferg's thing was that, he was listed at 6'7 and a quarter at the NBA combine a couple of years ago.
And the thought that you can play with multiple shooters on the floor, too. I mean, three or four, sometimes four. I guess there is the potential. I don't know enough about Buki or Narcisse from the outside. I guess you play Dowd at the five. There's even the chance that you could occasionally have five genuine three-point looks out there, you know, at mm-hmm. the same time. So no, this is a it'll be a new look team, but yeah, a team that seems to be deep, and it's deep with guys that I mean, I know Montes is coming over, but. It's deep with guys that have played D1 basketball before. It's deep with guys that have produced at the D1 level. And I think Auburn, like without, I'd be excited if Sebastian and Elijah were back. I would. Like, I think it'd be really cool. Would I trade Dowd, Montes, and Olsen for Williams, Adams, and Freeman? I'm not sure.
Probably not. And like we were talking, we talked yesterday, and Don and I talked about it a while ago with the 5-for-5 rule. I mean, the chance of getting some of those guys back for a fifth year is probably even more exciting than the thinking about getting someone back for his sophomore year.
I mean, and Sebastian and Elijah have a lot of eligibility remaining, too. Right. But you're absolutely right. I think that
these days, if you can get multiple years out of anybody, but especially an experienced player.
Well, the thought that some of these guys you've gone in the portal and added for this year, and you added them because of what they can provide this year's team, but the thought that because of the rules changing, they may be five-year players. Yeah. They may be, you know, whether it's Dowd, whether it's Olsen, whether it's Freeman, like the thought that these guys aren't just one-year additions to this team, and I mean, how many fifth-year seniors will be on this Auburn team this year? I mean, it could be. I mean, I guess Montas, because of his age, you know, that we'll see what kind of, you know, did Auburn has Auburn said anything about how he'll be classified? Like what grade Montas will be? Do we have answers about?
Ferg wrote that he's expected to have 1 year.
Okay, so he'll be a fifth year senior, right, basically in the eyes of the NCAA. So he'll be the one fifth year senior on a team where virtually everyone else would be able to come back for at least one more year. And coach, you've been in rooms where
we talked earlier, experience. Oh man.
You gotta feel like you got hotels on Boardwalk and Park Place, right? Yeah. It's not just like when you feel good about the room right now, and it's a bunch of guys that you could have
another two or three years
for multiple seasons. It's, I mean, that's the jackpot as a coach.
Back in our day, that's how you tried to build your teams. Like Bill and I talked before,
that was the goal.
Yeah, you bring a kid in, hopefully you can redshirt him, and then he got him 5 years.
And Justin mentioned yesterday in his interview with Steven, like Steven wants, like I think the goal is if things line up where you've got a bunch of seniors 1 year, like that's I guess that could happen, but I think Steven's going to try to avoid that as often as possible, so that usually three or four of the rotation pieces at least will have another year of eligibility and can come back and provide you a little bit of continuity so that you're not completely starting over, which he basically had to do last season, or as part of a group that had to start over after everybody graduated from the Final Four team.
Yeah.
And then this year they came dangerously close to having to start over. If Dodd and Kevin Overton aren't back, that's what the roster looks like.
And Bill and I were talking earlier, I don't know if you heard, the fact that they get to play this summer together, games and travel and stay together, be together, you can't beat that experience either.
And I get that is a rule that probably disproportionately benefits cash-rich programs that can afford the international travel, but you know what? I don't think that's a reason they're not requiring everyone take an international trip. They're saying that if you can afford it and you want to,
you can,
and you think it would benefit your program, you don't have.
I can't imagine it not benefiting. I mean, that's the thing. It's a way to try to bond. You bring your, you know. I mean, you're gonna find out if you guys get along.
But anyway, I mean, I guess when UCLA had those guys shoplift in China,
I was going to say you'll find out.
That's okay. Didn't
benefit your
in
program
in China.
No,
I better be quiet.
No, they actually weren't.
I know. It's a wonder they got out.
It's amazing they're not still there.
Yeah.
I think that if you can, we just heard Alex Golish talk about it, and coach, you can speak to this.
Yeah.
When the room's brand new, when it's a bunch of guys who didn't know each other 3 months ago. And maybe you're new to the job, too.
Yeah.
Like, how important is finding any way to generate that chemistry, to build that chemistry between now and the start of the season?
It's key.
Yeah.
It is the key.
It's the job, right? Yes. Like it's
hard. And, there's nothing like experience. We always talk about it on the show. But, it's tough to – and remember the old days? They didn't even show up to August?
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of like the portal. They just show up, you know.
And that's where stuff like, and we've heard Alex Golish sort of emphasizing, that's where meals and movie nights, barbecues, and
getting them over to your family, you know, the occasional meal that, that's one great thing. Every Thursday night, Terry Price and I had, when we were in town and not on the road recruiting, we had a D-line to my house or his house and for a meal.
Is that something you would encourage if you're a young position coach in college football?
Yeah. And they get to see you and meet your families. You know, Chuck would come down and Lynn and Alex, and they see us. You know, he has a wife.
I love that.
Dunn has a wife, and he doesn't have a whistle around his neck beating me with it. But I think it's great. And they relaxed until they started bringing all their Tupperware. Oh. And I used to have a few leftovers, but I think DeMarco McNeil started that. Oh. And then
they clean you out?
Oh, my gosh. Well,
that's a smart guy.
Yeah, that's why he's smart. Yeah, I think it's very important.
And these things maybe get lost in you know, modern college football, but I'm sure that's something that I've seen pictures on social media of outings to steakhouses
Saban
and things.
Took him to the lake. Mm-hmm. It's very smart.
And with Cody on the team, you know, I'm sure that like the team building stuff like this summer,
right?
And
they're here, and you got to take advantage of that. I think you can work with them now too. So many hours a week.
Well, that's
right. Where we couldn't.
That weekly dinner though is so sensible too. Yeah. It's like not only do you sort of get
Thursday night, we got home early. Everybody looked forward to it. They didn't stay long. They didn't want to be at my house all night, but they. And then that's another thing. We knew what they were doing on Thursday night because Thursday night was a good night to go out.
And it still is.
Yeah, Thursday night. Sorry.
And if you need any one-on-one time with one of the guys, like you can pull them aside there in a relatively.
Yeah, but this was more just relaxing, cooking, joking, meeting the families.
I love that.
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
That's fantastic stuff, and something that.
But now the NCAA came in and said an occasional meal, so you couldn't do it every week. I don't know what it is now. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now you could take them to a restaurant like the Countries. I took them to Countries sometimes.
I'm sure there's a sensible rule behind. Yeah, you can't have a weekly dinner at your position coach's house. Like, I'm sure there's some logical.
I don't know why, but thing behind it, but it did change for a while.
But I could see the benefit of something like that.
You had to document everything, who was there, any type of what you served.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Need an inventory. Make sure you're not serving them.
I can just see somebody in whatever office going.
Compliance.
Well, they got this, and these guys only got that. Yeah,
Coach served his famous rib stuffed with $100 bills for some of the recruits.
Yeah, wrapped. We didn't have keg stands or anything going on, but a couple of them would have liked it.
No, I love that, Coach. Like that's and that's something that I can imagine now more than ever. In that rush between, all right, the portal's closed, I know who my guys are, and most of them are in for the spring.
Right.
You know, at the beginning of January, you know what that room's going to look like.
Right.
Any opportunity you have between January and the start of the season to turn those guys into
even though you meet with them, you practice with them, it's still hard to really get to know them. Where are they from? What's their life like? Mm-hmm. And, you know, people do different things. I've been in programs where – and I didn't always like this because it was kind of uncomfortable, but sometimes it was good. You'd have in the summer, two-a-days, you'd have team meetings at night. You'd have a guy come in, a speaker or whatever, and then one night you would have like three or four guys get up, where am I from? And some of them would tell the whole story. I'm from a broken home. My dad's in prison. And you just don't know this stuff.
Wow.
Now, some people wouldn't say that. So you got to be careful with that, too. But that opened up a lot of things. And, well, no wonder this kid's kind of withdrawn. And another program we had at one time.
It takes guts to get up in front of your whole team and tell
your story.
Especially
if you're a freshman. Yeah. You're scared to death.
And especially if you're talking about some personal stuff that may be difficult to talk about, emotional stuff.
I think that's broken homes, all kinds of
stuff. I could see a young person doing that. And gaining the respect
of the older people.
Of older people in the room, maybe don't know that much about
it. And another program we had at one time was like a big brother. Like if you're a senior, Dan, you're a senior, I'm coming in as a freshman. Okay, Dan, you got Don Dunn. You go eat with him. Mm-hmm. Now, not the whole year, but like the first three or four weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You get him up. You make sure. And it's usually a guy in your position, like a Josh Thompson.
I want to say Trot had Lutz. And that's how I got to know those two guys. And you'd meet some of the younger freshmen,
right? And you know half these guys don't even know how to get to the cafeteria or whatever. I mean, they get lost, and then the coach, I'm chewing them out for being late. Well, coach, I've been sitting down there for 3 hours. You know, they played a lot of pranks on them too, sending them, okay, go over there. You know, the older guys. We had some of them guys too. You know, set their clocks back so they'd be late. Just nuts. But anyway, that's part of it.
No, I love that, though.
It's all good.
Again, yeah. it's all in service of.
And you got to be. You can't just be old hard nosed, old school, all the time. Where I'm the coach, you're the player, because it doesn't work.
Well, they'll tune you out eventually, yeah. Right? I mean, yeah. if it's one note and then, it's
yeah.
It's,
and, yeah. And now with the portal. Oh, this guy, I'm not playing for this nut.
Sure.
You know, or he doesn't care about me.
When guys can take a red shirt, and I know they're right. Getting rid of that. You know,
thank goodness.
Thank gosh.
I liked the rule in theory that it's like, oh, yeah, you play four games.
Right.
And just the four games you keep.
Yeah, until players started going, I'm at three,
until,
I'm out.
Until week four became decision week for guys.
Well, we were talking earlier about, you know, playing two plays. They counted quarters back, or you know, like you have so many quarters. You got in one play, and like Bill said, the guy lost a year because of one play.
Mm. Oh, it was that Aza?
No, well, Reggie Slack.
Oh, yeah. I was gonna remember there, but wasn't there a weird deal with Aza Martin too? Where
yeah, I think it was.
Like he went into a game
and
there was a pre-snap penalty. And so they yanked him out.
Took him out. So he was really not even on the field for a play.
And so he wasn't listed in the snap counts.
Right. He was not listed in participation.
So Auburn used him in four other games. And when they used him in that fourth other game, someone realized, oh no, because of the pre-snap penalty, I believe that's the story of Aza Martin and the.
No, Reggie was like accidentally played a series like at the end of a homecoming game, and that ended up costing him a year of eligibility.
Wow, yeah.
But again, like 5 years to play 5 years makes so much more sense.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't have to worry about all that paperwork and everything.
Right,
yep.
Right.
And
when you started school, that's it. You got 5 years.
And we had the caller say it. And to me, you know what? Even if the age limit falls, like if someone successfully sues. And they decide, okay, the NCAA can't actually institute a hard age cap on maximums.
I think they can stick with the five for
they
five.
They can stick with the five for five. And if that means okay, well your clock starts whenever you enroll in college. The old rule applies, but it's 5 years no matter what, and you can't be a professional athlete coming back to play the sport that you were a pro in. Like I still think it's a better system than what we have right now.
No.
I think 5 years to play 5 years without these sort of games with a red shirt.
And the other thing we wondered about, Don, I mean, I haven't seen any exceptions made. I mean, for situations like Ronnie Daniels, for Chris Winkie, for guys like that went and played professional baseball.
What do you
and
do
then come back. I mean, that's going to be tough for everybody to fit under that 24.
And these now, are you exempt if you're like the BYUs?
Yes. Religious missions and military service are exempt.
The hypotheticals that I've seen folks raise up about the age limit, the things where it could be vulnerable legally.
Right.
Bill mentioned professional athlete in a different sport who wants to come back to college, drafted out of high school in baseball. Mm-hmm. Like, should you be ineligible to play college football at 25?
I don't know why. That doesn't seem right.
And then the other one would be, and this is one that, like, if you were held back as a student in elementary or middle or high school, and you're graduating high school later than the rest of the people in your graduating class, should that shorten your eligibility clock as a college athlete? Especially if it's for, I mean, you could have a medical diagnosis behind the reasons you were held back. You know what I mean? It could be mental health, could be learning disability related. And is that something the NCAA is ready to say, no, even though you have these reasons that a doctor has signed off on, you only get 3 years of college athletics instead of the normal five because you're graduating high school. Like, I could see these things being successfully I could see situations like that where, and again, I think five for five makes total sense.
Yes, mm-hmm. I agree.
And I think that holding, and I understand why they don't necessarily want a sport full of, I understand why men's basketball, you know, it's not necessarily about guys that have been toiling in the semi-pro ranks for a long time, and now they're coming to college, and they're playing in their mid to late 20s. Like, I can understand why that's not necessarily the goal, and so there's some thinking there. But I do, the thought of a hard age maximum is novel enough that I wonder if it could be open to legal challenge. Ever since that caller brought it up earlier this week, I've thought like age minimum is one thing. Because you can sort of make arguments about wanting adults only in the sport and things like that. a hard age maximum is something you don't really see.
There is no no age maximum for a college student
or a professional athlete.
Right.
Like, it's not like Major League Baseball says, "Up, you're 40. Like, get on the ice floe and, you know, get out." I mean, the market decides, right? When you're no longer, you know, when you're 12. Even the PGA Tour, which has a Champions Tour.
Yeah, the seniors. Yeah, but
you're
seniors.
But if you're old enough to be on the seniors tour,
you can still play on the regular tour if you're good enough.
Exactly. So I mean, that's where I would think most of this, I think, is in. It makes a lot of sense, but I think an age maximum would be something that maybe struggles to stand up to scrutiny.
Oh, I agree. We're way behind. Need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Still time for you to join us if you'd like here on the Friday Drive.
AU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive, Bill, Dan, and Don. We have a call, don't we? I was going to say,
Mitch. He'll wait.
As we're going to break, somebody had pointed out this is a not exciting stat, that it's been another rough year for the major sports against Auburn's biggest rivals.
Yeah, brace yourself.
The win last night by Georgia put Auburn 0-9 against Alabama and Georgia this year in football, men's basketball, and baseball.
And I would say the good news is that football. Clearly, it's unacceptable because they made a change.
Yes,
to the point that Hugh Freeze didn't even coach the Iron Bowl this past year. Men's basketball, they didn't make a major change up top after the season, but I think there's
roster has had major
the
changes.
Roster's had major changes, and I think there's the expectation that Steven can do better in year two than he did in year one. And baseball, I don't want to, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be like, all right, well, you lost to Bama, Butch. Thin ice.
No. I mean, you
want to win these.
You're still one of the top seeds nationally, you know, in the country. But you definitely want to win. You want to win at least one. And we talked about it earlier, Dan. I think Auburn needs to win their next two if they want to be a to get the double bye in the SEC. I think they have to win the next two games.
Yeah. Do you think there's a chance Sanders if they don't use him today or tomorrow?
I don't know. You mean in the tournament?
I would say he's your starter.
Yeah, I was going to say I don't think we're going to see him today or tomorrow.
Because we talked about Griffin, but I could see them if they can hold off.
Oh, yeah.
If they can hold
off
using Sanders today or tomorrow, I could see Sanders as your game one starter in the SEC tournament potentially.
Well, I think you're not going to play till Thursday though, so you're probably going to see.
You could use Jake. On a full week. That's true. Yeah. If you get it, that's with the double bye.
Right.
Right.
Well, double bye, you don't play till Friday.
Okay. For some reason, I was thinking it was Wednesday, Thursday. Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah, if you make it Thursday, then it could be you could hold off and use Jake again. Yeah,
I think that's the situation that Butch wants to have is, you know, have everybody on full rest.
And it's been brutal run support wise for Jake, but
really
it's also
he's 4-5 with a 2.7 ERA.
But it is like some of that is he is facing the other teams.
He is.
He's facing the other team's ace. You know, that's who he's matched up with. And again, I don't. Yeah, don't read too much into the 4-5. Like, look at the other numbers to get an idea of just how brilliant he's been in SEC play.
334-321-1390. That's the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar.
Amazing, we won four of them. Right when you think about how the offense is fared against some of the Fridays.
Yeah, but I mean, you look at his numbers. I mean, he's got a sub-1 WHIP. I mean, you know, he will give up homers, but as we said yesterday beforehand, most of them are solo shots, and both of them were last night. That normally doesn't get you beaten, but one run isn't going to win you a lot of ball games either. All right, let's get to the drive hotline, and Mitch is hanging on. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, guys. Wanted to talk to Coach Dunn. Coach.
Yes, sir.
Hey, on Derby Day, I decided to make some hot browns for the wife and I.
Okay.
Yeah, I sent some pictures to Dan.
Yeah, I saw them. I saw them. They look pretty good to me, buddy.
Well, I had to modify it a little bit. I made the Mornay sauce. I didn't have any turkey, but I had some rotisserie chicken breast, so I used that.
Okay.
And I didn't have any Pecorino Romano cheese, but I had Parmigiano Reggiano.
Okay. Yeah.
So Yeah, so they came out pretty good.
Yeah, but they're you know, they're really good. We had a couple at the Derby at the little party we attended, and had one at Churchill Downs, and it was we went out on Wednesday. It was okay.
Mitch, had you ever made a Mornay sauce before?
Yes,
okay.
In culinary school.
I was going to say, because that's a skill. If you can make a good Mornay sauce, that's a French sauce. It's in a lot of stuff. Really useful in you want to elevate a mac and cheese or a pasta dish of some kind. But
that's impressive.
Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff, man.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. That was good and everything. But you guys were you guys were talking about the girls and boys soccer team at Auburn High School winning the state championship. Now that got me to thinking, when is the new high school in Auburn supposed to open up?
I'm thinking next. I was thinking the fall of 27. I think that's right, Mitch.
Okay, and is it located? Where is it located?
It's on North Donahue.
Okay. Now is it on the north side of the loop of Sugar Jordan?
Yes. Just north of that.
Across from the Auburn University Club.
Right.
Okay.
That's a big area. That's
fall 2028.
28? Okay. All right. My bad. So 28, not 27.
Okay. Well. Hopefully we can. Like I told the mayor many many years ago. I hope we can win a football, because we won baseball and basketball state championships. I hope we win a football one, because this will probably, divide up the town.
It's going to make it tougher, I would think.
Yeah. Very tough. So, all right. Okay. So 2028. And then you guys mentioned the soccer tickets. So they've sold about 78,000.
Yeah, that was the release from Auburn today. It said 78,000 tickets sold. There are about 10,000 left.
Right. Okay. Yeah. We're still planning on coming up there for that and everything. I'm just curious. What the atmosphere is going to be like.
It's going to be different. I'm sure it will be different than anything you're used to around the stadium.
I think it'll be pretty exciting and wild and horn blowing and whatever they do.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm assuming that they're already starting to work on the stadium. I mean, I know they got to take the hedges out, right?
Well, actually, no. We thought on one side.
Yeah. The thing is, there are some minor adjustments they make, but when we were doing the calculations for the dimensions, you got to keep in mind you got quite a bit of sideline between the out of bounds and where the hedges are, and they've made that pretty wide in, I think, the last time they renovated on the field, and I think that there's a portion of
There's just a part of the hedges that are going to have to come out. Not all of them.
I think it's over by it's north end zone, over on that side, and it's
northeast, maybe.
Okay, well, Bill, I'm in the west upper deck, mm-hmm. about midfield. Are you in your regular season ticket places, or do you get some better seats?
We actually the my son, who's he and his wife are the big aficionados. They wanted to be closer. I mean, our section is on the Argentina side. It's near the Argentina. They wanted to be there. They wanted to be as close as possible to see Messi. So they wanted to move down. So instead of being on the top row, we've moved down quite a few rows.
Okay. Well, I haven't looked. I mean, is there any kind of special things going on? Cause like I said, the tailgating. I mean, tailgating is tailgating, but
I'm sure there will be. I haven't seen an awful lot of them though yet, Mitch. We'll pass along once we start seeing that.
Coach Dunn is available if you want. Someone at your tailgate. Knows.
Is it Iceland?
It's Iceland versus. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll have some cold fish.
Yeah,
and chili.
And they drink and
vodka.
There's they drink. Yeah. A, it's a it's a It's like a Scandinavian booze that they draw. I'll look it up during the break. Great stuff, Mitch. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, we'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us as we wind things down here on the Friday Drive.
Hey, this is Jacob Goins, voice of the Auburn High Tigers. Join us all postseason long over on the home of Auburn High School Baseball.
NAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final couple of minutes here on this Friday. Yes, again, if you could just hear what goes on in between the rest of the show.
We have so many questions for our Icelandic friends.
Yes, indeed. PGA going on right now. You've got Maverick McNealy and Alex Smalley tied at 4-under. McNealy just dropped a shot back to move into that tie. He is about to be on 18. So not a lot of really low scores there at the PGA.
Believe we have, and we haven't been talking too much about the NBA playoffs, but you do have the conference finals getting ready to start tonight. You have two games that could be the end of the semifinals: Pistons, Cavaliers, and Spurs, Timberwolves. Both of those on Prime Video tonight. So Amazon getting into the NBA playoff action. If either of those, if Minnesota or Detroit can force a game seven. Those games will be on Sunday. Conference finals getting started. The conference finals, I believe, are all. I believe those games are on ABC, NBC Peacock is going to have the conference final action, and that's those get started next week. But could have you get game sixes tonight? Could have game sevens on
Preakness tomorrow. Sunday.
Preakness
wide open. I have no clue.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I'll try to not miss it. I mean, it's getting later. Big baseball game tonight. Really important for Auburn if they hope to, try to stay a high seed for the SEC baseball tournament. And it wouldn't hurt them as far as a national seed as well. 7 o'clock, first pitch, 6:45 airtime over on Wings 94.3. That's going to wrap things up for the Friday edition of the Drive. We're back in here Monday. Brian Matthews will join us from AuburnSports.com. Look back over the weekend, baseball, Big Cat, anything else that goes on. That's going to do it for today. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Congratulations, women's tennis.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we mentioned
we're out of here.
Yeah, great.
This is Sheriff Jay Jones. Some.